Thank you all very much. Let's return to the calendar. Since Jeff Baer is here, I think we will move to item 884, which we pulled from the consent calendar. Could you read that item, and we'll bring Jeff up to answer questions.
884, accept recommendation and reaffirm city's commitment to responsible, sustainable procurement by considering the presence of conflict minerals when purchasing cellular devices and radio subscriber units.
So thank you very much to staff for being here. I pulled this off consent because I want to make sure that the Portland citizens understand the issues and how you're addressing them. So thank you very much for being here.
Good morning, Mayor Hales, members of City Council, Jeff Baer with Bureau of Technology Services. And just to reiterate what this is, it's a resolution and to continue to affirm our support for responsible practices where we influence the materials in the supply chain, especially when it comes to devices that have these conflict minerals in them. And just to also emphasize that this has been a very collaborative effort between the Oregon Coalition of Humanity, Bureau of Technology Services, and also Procurement Services with Christine and her team. And just to talk about some of the things that we're doing, we purchased...
Before you do that, I'm not sure that everybody at home knows what conflict minerals
are. Very good.
Right. Good.
So the way this works is that where we buy products and where manufacturers source their materials, this in particular is about what they call 3 TGs. So it's tin, tantalum, tungsten, and gold. So those products are in a lot of electronic devices. And so where those manufacturers source that from, we want to make sure that they are in conflict-free zones. And so this... the federal requirements have provided that they have to declare where those sources of materials are. And from what I'm being told is that all of our current cellular and radio providers are in compliance with those current regulations and with this resolution.
And from the resolution, it talks about, it says the United States Senate and the House of Representatives have found that armed groups bear responsibility for mass atrocities in the Eastern Democratic Republic of the Congo. The International Rescue Committee has found that more than 5.4 million civilians have died and countless more remain at risk as a result of attacks conducted by armed groups in the Eastern Democratic Republic of the Congo. And these armed groups generate hundreds of millions of dollars each year by trading in conflict minerals and operate with little accountability for perpetuating economic crimes, war crimes, and crimes against humanity, including sexual violence and the recruitment of child soldiers. So this is something that the United States government has been addressing and that you have been working to make sure that our supply chain doesn't include these metals from the Democratic group. Thank you. I just wanted to clarify that.
And Jeff, just to follow up on that, so the federal government makes the certification, and then we follow that, or is there some independent judgment we have to make?
And maybe Amanda might be able to speak to that.
Well, for the...
Can you tell us who you are?
Oh, yes. My name is Amanda Ulrich, and I am the coordinator for the conflict mineral movement in Portland with Oregon Coalition for Humanity, and also a volunteer ambassador with Women for Women International, specifically working on their program in Eastern Congo. And so... For publicly traded companies, they are required under Section 1502 of the Dodd-Frank Act to turn into the Securities and Exchange Commission if they have identified that anywhere in their supply chain they are sourcing minerals that may be from the Congo, and further if they are, where those particular minerals are coming from in their supply chain. And so there's systems already in place for those companies to audit their supply chains, and some companies do so independently and separate and apart from that requirement. And so... For any company that's publicly traded, you can verify through the EDGAR system on the Securities and Exchange Commission the paperwork that they turned in.
Okay, and how do we know if another country has been put on the watch list? You said Dodd-Frank focuses on the Congo.
It focuses on the Congo and the surrounding areas, and so you mean how do we know if there's another country like? Can you clarify what you mean?
Well, you said Dodd-Frank was very specific in identifying a particular region, but mm-hmm. How do we, if we're going to comply with this directive, how do we know when another country or region is in play?
You mean like another part of the world?
Yeah, another country has some of the issues that the Congo has or something like that. How would that get lofted up onto the onto the screen here for people to see?
Well,
the State Department under Dodd-Frank makes some kind of certification. I see nodding heads. So
yeah, I see what you're saying. Now, this is focusing on this region of the world because they have some of the largest supplies of these minerals, and also it's the largest death toll since World War II. And basically, it was a grassroots movement that started the awareness. So, I mean, I suppose to answer your question, I mean, if there was another region of the world that had this concentration of minerals and egregious things like this happening, I suppose you would have your nonprofits of the world that would raise the attention of it. But that particular piece of the Dodd-Frank legislation is specifically addressing this region of the world because it's just such a huge humanitarian crisis.
Thank you. And thanks for raising the profile on this issue.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Other questions?
How does the average consumer know whether their product that they might purchase is conflict-free?
Well, one resource you can utilize is the Enough Project. They're based in Washington, D.C. They're a nonprofit. We actually work with them on this. This is a nationwide movement, conflict-free. There's been other cities that have passed similar resolutions and universities across the country that have, and the first United Kingdom city recently as well. And they have ranked the top publicly traded electronics companies in terms of how conflict-free they are. And you can go to their website and you can look and see how those top companies rank. And then beyond that, the Enough Project is available to talk about any companies that might not be the top traded or they're more private. They have resources where they can help to inform you as a consumer where the company that you're looking at falls.
So if somebody's watching and wants to find out more about this, could you give us a website that they could go to?
If you Google the Enough Project, it will pop up. I can't remember their exact URL, but it's like www.enoughproject.org or something like that.
Thank you.
Enough.org.
Enough.org. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Jeff, are there particular companies that are essentially on a do not buy list that you would then have to follow that list?
I don't think that there currently are. Looking to Christine to see if that's the case. But I do know that the ones that we are buying from today are in compliance.
Are in compliance.
Yes.
And just Commissioner Fish, Christine Moody, Procurement Services, this resolution is really our first step forward as far as complying with the federal requirements and supporting those federal requirements for documentation and supporting that documentation to the city so that we can review that and see if there's some changes that we need to make in the future for our buying decisions. As Jeff said, currently, where we're buying all of our cellular devices and radio devices, they are in compliance. But this is kind of an ongoing effort of making sure that those companies that we are doing business are providing that information publicly so that we can use that to inform our buying decisions.
Well, I'm pleased that Commissioner Fritz pulled this because I, for one, have a better understanding now of what we're talking about. So thank you.
And I do think that this does set the stage for future evaluation for other microprocessor-based electronics because there are other areas aside from cellular and radios that we could look at, and we'll continue to look at our supply chain.
I will add, Intel, they actually began offering the first conflict-free microprocessor in 2014. Their CEO is really committed to issues in the Congo, and I've been in touch with their conflict mineral team at Intel, and they actually also invest in a conflict-free mine in eastern Congo because they also believe in supporting mines that are conflict-free to also be supporting the people that live in the Congo that are affected by the mining in their country. And so this resolution couples nicely with our area in general being a leader on this issue.
Thank you for reminding me about that. I think when I met with you several years ago, Beaverton was considering passing something like this. Did they do so?
No, they were waiting for Portland.
Oh, yay.
Yeah.
I love it when that happens.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Other questions for this team? Thank you very much.
You.
Appreciate you coming to illuminate this. Thanks.
Thank you.
And is there anyone else that wants to speak on this item? Please come on up. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. My name is Ann Shannon, and my daughter and I were our co-founders of Run for Congo Women, 1,000 Sisters, Outcry for Congo. We were instrumental in advocating for the original legislation for conflict minerals. My daughter is an author of two books on Congo, and both my daughter and I have traveled to DR Congo and have met extensively with victims of the violence there. And first, I do really want to thank the Procurement Office and the Technical Services Bureau for their responsiveness. And just this, it's so gratifying to live in Portland and have a government that is responsive to the deep concerns of the citizens, and that we do have an impact. And this, to me, this resolution really is an example of that. So first, I do want to note that there is a very broad base of awareness and support for policies that we take that can stop the violence in Congo. My daughter, as founder of the Run for Congo Women, we have had yearly events, and actually some more than yearly events, that were 100 to 500 women and children and men show up, and they reach out to the community asking for donations to support the victims of violence there. Or Oregon Episcopal School has raised $38,000 for women in Congo. St. Mary's has had several events asking for or educating their students about the conditions in Congo. So, and my daughter, when she speaks here in Portland, draws from 200 to 800 very enthusiastic supporters. So there are literally tens of thousands of Portlanders who are very concerned that we do everything we can to stop this violence. And I will say that when the conflict minerals legislation was first passed, within a month, I was at a barbecue, and Congolese nationals were coming up to me so grateful for the work that we had done, because all of their families have been affected, and we do have a Congolese community of expats here. And my daughter's second book is about the family of one. It's about one family and a friend of ours who she's the cheese steward at Fred Meyer's, and she's lost 28 family members to this carnage, and plus six children have been abducted. And so we have a lot of people in our community who are vitally concerned. And I do want to say that, you know, the support of Intel and the leadership that they have exercised in relationship to this, to me, this resolution, you know, in a way supports that kind of leadership in industry, because Intel wasn't always for this legislation, but they heard how much, and they really got how much Americans do not want Congolese blood and sufferings in the products that we carry in our pockets and that we use every day for hours on our computers. And so, oh, I'm out of time. Oh, sorry.
Oh, thank you
it's
very
okay.
much. Appreciate
okay. it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning.
Morning. I'm Rob Hadley. I'm a local educator, and I'm also a co-founder of the Oregon Coalition for Humanity. We started this process about 2.5 years ago, and it's been quite an education for us, both in working with the city. And again, I want to echo previous comments about the great work that's gone into this from a number of people at a number of levels, and working with you as city commissioners and the mayor's office to help make this happen. I believe strongly in my work as a Holocaust educator that a budget is a moral document, and how we spend our money says something about who we are as a city. And I think as a city, making this first initial step, really, and that's what I believe this is an important first step to really stating who we are as a people, who we are as a city, and what we value, and how we spend our money on these resources. You asked the question about how do we know, how does the public know what a conflict-free phone is. The answer is there isn't one, and that's the truth. We haven't got there yet, but that's the push that we, I think, as citizens, as cities, as universities across this country, are pushing to help companies like Intel, you talked about earlier, to really make that happen, and it is having an impact. And I hope that today's action by the City of Portland will be the next in that, that domino effect to help other companies realize we have a responsibility to know what's in our products and to know help our consumers know what they're consuming. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Would it be too much to ask for me to be able to say one more thing?
Sure, go ahead, please.
Okay. Now I'm going blank. Oh, dear. God, I'm sorry.
You're so surprised that we agreed to it?
Yeah. No, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Thank you.
No, we appreciate you being here. Thank you. Thanks. Anyone else wants to speak on this item? Good morning.
I'm Alicia Atma, the executive director of the Atma Foundation, and we worked with Congolese for 4 to 5 years in eastern Congo. So definitely understood and heard the stories on ground and how these mines affected the families. I am up here just to clarify your questions, Commissioner Fish. If there is another country or another community, perhaps, that is dealing with the same issue, then yes, it's going to be the State Department that you would find out if that was added to the list.
They already certify human rights abuses generally under other law, so that makes sense.
Yeah. And second to that is, how do you know if something is conflict-free or going in that direction? The Enough Project is a great website, but also corporate responsibility in different companies should be addressing it as well. So if you're Googling Samsung or something like that, they should be able to address it in their corporate responsibilities. And eventually, hopefully in the near future, we will have actual conflict-free stickers that will be on phones or computers or things like that. Right now, the safest approach is looking for the Intel microprocessor. That's how you're going to know that you're much closer to conflict-free than otherwise. So I just want to clarify those questions.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
That.
Have a good day.
Okay, then let's please take a vote on the resolution.
Salzman.
Well, thank you for polling this, Commissioner Fritz. I'd sort of forgotten about this. I know we did it several years ago, and it's nice to see that it's come to fruition and a great plug for Oregon's largest private employer, Intel. Thank you. Aye.
Novick.
Jeff and Christina, really appreciate your work on this. Amanda, appreciate your and everybody else's work. And thank you, Commissioner Fritz, for pulling this item. I actually noticed a few weeks ago, and I emailed Jill Island at Intel about this, there was an article that said that more than 80% of the 1,262 companies that filed compliance reports with the SEC last year said they couldn't identify whether their products contained conflict-free minerals. But Intel was one of the companies with the highest compliance scores. So that's the 80% figure is unfortunate, but it's good to know that one of the biggest employers in the region is a leader on this issue, and it's good to know that the city is as well. Aye.
Fritz.
Well, thank you to the advocates for bringing this to my attention, and it was several years ago. I apologize that it kind of dropped off my to-do list with various bureau reassignments and other things happening like election campaigns and such, which took a lot of my time. I'm really grateful to the staff who, especially Christine Moody, who didn't need my continual asking about it to continue working on it. Jeff and your predecessor, Ben Berry, also is obviously paying attention and cares as much as we do about these egregious issues in the Congo. And so I appreciate being able to talk about it today. Dora Perry on my staff had done some great work on it. Christina Nieves has now taken up the mantle of that. And it's really important. So if I'm back, so if you need, and I have more free time, so if you would like me to help work with Beaverton or other jurisdictions, obviously one of the reasons I pulled this to the regular agenda is I want people watching at home to know about it. And it was certainly news when you brought it to me. We're growing in awareness. We need to continue to publicize it. So count me in. Aye.
Fish.
Yeah, Commissioner Fritz, thank you for pulling this to the regular agenda. Thanks to everyone who came out and testified. I had the misfortune the other night of watching a presidential debate, and it seemed like the only thing that unified all the candidates is that they wanted to either repeal just about everything that I agree with, or they were against almost everything that I support. And in the mix of anti side, in addition to being wanting to repeal Obamacare, there were people saying we should repeal Dodd-Frank. This is a part of Dodd-Frank that probably the public doesn't know as much about. And I'm delighted that you've brought this to our attention, and thank you. And to the gentleman who said the budget is a moral document, I am going to shamelessly borrow that line as we go into our new budget season. Thank you very much, and thank you. Thank you for shining a light on this issue of corporate responsibility. Aye.
Hales.
Well, thank you. This was a great discussion and an opportunity to illuminate this issue. And thank you, Commissioner Fritz, and to our professional staff for once again making Portland a leader in doing the right thing. I like that we are in that place. And the fact that we have a prominent local business that is a leader as well is a great example, and we should hold up that example and encourage every other Oregon business that has anything to do with technology to follow Intel's good example. It's obviously possible to be profitable and responsible at the same time. So let's have others follow that lead as well. So there are lots of ways in which budgets can be moral documents and in which we can exercise social responsibility in how we spend money and how we invest money. And this is an important piece of that. So I really appreciate this discussion and your eloquent advocacy here today and around the world. Thank you. Aye.